Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed every second of playing with him and being his teammate. I think he's one of the smarter baseball players I've played with. He's really good. Just the little things and his approach and game plan. Yeah, obviously, was shocked, but it's well above my pay grade, what I'm supposed to do. Yeah.
That was Alex Bregman talking about the Raffy Devers trade. And that's what we're about to talk about here on WEEI Afternoons. Joining us in studio at Fenway Park is Rob Bradford. And Bradfo, I invited you on today because over the last few days, I keep hearing this same narrative from one Michael Holly, old friend Michael Holly, talking about and just presenting it basically as fact without sourcing that the San Francisco Giants went above Craig Breslow's head to make the Raffy Devers deal, that Buster Posey called John Henry and said, your GM is basically asking for too much. Let's get this deal done. And that's how that trade came about. So I immediately texted and called you. And you are going to tell me that that is either fact or that is just a false rumor and report. What is it?
Be careful how much information you share, Rob.
First of all, it's great to see you all. Second of all, yay baseball.
Yeah, and three, it's not boring.
Yay baseball. I was listening to you guys driving in. I was starting to question myself.
It's not boring.
No.
It's just stinky right now.
It's lousy. It's annoying. It's frustrating.
Listen, I could sell this game all the live long day. Number two overall pick last year's draft, pitching against Garrett Crochet. Let's go. Anyway, that's not what you asked me about.
Nope. LA Cruz.
So I would just say this. If that is true, it is news to all the people who are involved in the trade. So I would strongly say that probably it is not true.
Yeah, and I just, the reason it struck me is because I haven't, it's a key piece of information if it's true. And I think more people would be talking about it. It would be a bigger story in light of Devers' trade.
This goes back to the first week of the Devers stuff, right? There was so much stuff flying around, and it continues to be, and rightfully so, I guess, the conversation, because I wrote this today. If we said that at the time, are we going to keep talking about the Devers thing 2 weeks from when the Devers things happen? Mm. And the answer is simple. If they win, no. If they lose, yes.
Yes.
They lost. So we're going to get more things like this, much like we got in that first week. So they'll keep coming, and because it's low-hanging fruit for a lot of people, and really it's entertaining, but honestly it's kind of annoying in some respect. I love talking about it. I love digging into the very, very complex thing, but some of the stuff we've talked about is dumb. Like, John Henry's going to call up. Hey, you know what? I really like this James Tibbs guy. Let me tell you, you got to add him.
Mm.
So
I fancy Jordan Hicks.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't care. And also the stones on Buster Posey. What gumption for this young whippersnapper who just a few years retired, now running San Francisco, to be like, the hell with this guy. I know Breslow's nothing more than a robotic middleman. Let me go straight to the head honcho. If so, good for him. If it's true, but it still does.
Sure. I mean, if that's what it takes to get the deal done and they end up with the player they want in Raffy Devers, then to me, it just doesn't even really seem believable. I can't really envision, like, Bill Belichick, based on his role, hell, we'll use San Francisco, that famous John Lynch called about Garoppolo and Bill said no, and he was like, well, how about Brady? Is he available? Like, that conversation I can see. I cannot see Buster Posey. Well, would he even have the number for John Henry getting in touch?
And
ask this, because what is the thing that John Henry is going to do to put this over the top? And the answer is, say, this is what I want you to prioritize, which is the team that you're trading with to take on the money.
Right.
All right. You know who can ask that question and get that answer? Craig Breslow.
Right.
He said, hey, John Henry, what do you want to prioritize? What teams do you want to target? All right, let's do it. San Francisco, they look like they'll take on all the money. Seems like a good deal. Now, what's the best players we can get under those guidelines? John Henry does not have to be involved in it. I don't even understand. The more that we're talking about it, the more I'm like, who cares, number one? And number two, it doesn't even make sense.
That's my part. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. And then the next level of that is, correct me if I'm wrong here, from what I've heard from Breslow, like, he loves Kyle Harrison.
He feels like, oh, I heard him the other day say something like, he's going to be pitching after Crochet in the rotation. It's like, wait, he's your number two starter. Yeah,
wait, he is? The same guy who gave up a bomb in Worcester last week on like his second pitch of the game?
Yeah, that guy.
I mean, Tanner Houck isn't doing that well either. So.
I didn't say that I wanted Tanner Houck back in the rotation anytime soon.
But in terms of what they got back, you're absolutely right. Like Craig Breslow says, priority, taking on all the money. Then what is the best package that we can get back? He viewed that as the best package, and a lot of people said, well, that's all you got. And another part of this, a huge part of it, in hindsight, now that we're 2 weeks out, well, couldn't you have gotten one veteran bat in the deal that might have helped sort of placate this offense a little bit?
Right.
Because as we found out, and this is – I heard you say this about Saturday's game. It drives me nuts that Saturday score is going to warp what we're talking about when it's test. Right. Run differential, oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me?
It's brutal. Like
it's we see the offense, we see the lineup, we see what has happened, and so you ask what they need right now. You need some semblance of an offensive person. You don't have to be a superstar, but some semblance of an offensive person that is going to start taking the pressure off the rest of the lineup. And right now, that is the biggest miss that they have, because in my mind, you have, yes, the starters haven't been great. The bullpen has been thin. The defense has been whatever it is. But all of it is worse, I think, when you know you don't have an offense that's probably going to score, and everybody is putting more pressure on themselves, just like Jaron Duran said after the game Friday night.
Yep.
Yeah, he can't possibly get into any sort of comfort zone this year because everyone's pressing. We were lamenting that last week, and I still hate the fact that they didn't pick up a veteran right-handed bat for the outfield or to play first base or to swing with, platoon with Casas, whatever, because my whole thing when we were going on at the start of the show, what is the one thing they're doing now that's driving you craziest? They're maddeningly inconsistent. They can't pitch and hit and field all on the same day with any consistency whatsoever because there's no veteran leadership
right.
to lean on.
You shouldn't have to. And I know they're unbelievably high on Roman Anthony. Like you hear that on the record, off the record.
Sure.
That's why he's number two or number three in the order. But still, in the perfect world, he's hitting sixth or seventh. You know, you're relying on we relitigated this a ton, but you go back to the Manny trade, which is sort of the last example we have of something like this. And they got Jason Bay back. And by the way, even if you didn't get Jason Bay back, you had a bunch of other people in that lineup. And anytime you made these trades with the Boston Red Sox, you had other people in that lineup who, to your point, Fitzy, mm-hmm. has proven it, is going to take the pressure off. And so how do you fix it? And I know that Breslow's sick of me asking about it, but the June trade thing, I'm like, you know the window here. This isn't just we're going to ride this out, or it shouldn't be, we're going to ride this out and see what happens, because you have a window to definitively define what you are going to be, a buyer, a seller, a playoff team, or not. And with this team currently constituted, whether it's because of the pressure they're putting on themselves or the lack of talent or whatever it is, you are too thin after the Devers trade. So get uncomfortable. Yeah, it's going to cost more than you want doing a trade like this. But there are a few examples which we've cited a few different times. Carlos Santana was traded June 28th. Seattle was two games under 500. They go on a 39-12 run. And I'm not saying this was all because of Carlos Santana, but ask anybody. Aldovino said it on the podcast today, that it's not just the talent. It is that clubhouse feeling like you got somebody to help them. That's a big, big part of that. And it sure feels like that would go a long way.
Rob Bradford from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, which you can get on the Odyssey app or anywhere else you get your podcast, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Craig Breslow was on the Nesson broadcast yesterday and said something I thought interesting. We're going to play this later in the show, where he was asked by Will Middlebrooks about making trades early and how that plays out. And Breslow said something to the effect, well, teams have learned that the longer you wait closer to the deadline, generally the more you get in return. To which I think everybody goes, then why'd you try trade Rafi Devers so early? Do you think they should have gotten more for Rafael Devers? Or
I think they should have waited.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they...
Too soon?
Yeah, they got caught up in this is a cloud hanging over the clubhouse or hanging over the team. We feel like ultimately we can weather this initial storm of Devers and still be good. We have that quote from him, right? We're going to end up with more wins doing it this way than the other way. but that might be true if you were able to weather the storm. But right now, they're 4-8 since the Devers trade. Their offense is a big reason because of that. By the way, Devers, like, and I tweeted this, and I'm like, oh, please, Jamokes, please don't come back at me with this, that I'm like saying, oh, Rafael Devers, good riddance. But we have to also point out the San Francisco Giants are also 4-8. Yep. And Devers has struck out 9 of his last 11 at-bats.
He made two teams worse with that trade.
Exactly.
But somehow there's no schadenfreude joy for me.
But my point is, my immediate counterpoint to that would be, hey, who is the guy that you know is sitting there in that lineup that the team is worried about? That's the point. And that, for any good team, that is something that you have to have. We just saw Toronto have it, right? Vlad Guerrero Jr. Mm-hmm. sitting there. You don't think they're thinking about him six batters before? So, yeah, so I do think that it would have behooved them to wait a little bit longer. I think they probably caught up in, A, oh, my goodness, the Giants are going to take on this money, and we like these players are giving back, and B, probably, like, they wanted to turn over the chaos of Rafi Devers.
But how about maybe now this makes my proposal that I sent to you in the offseason of the Red Sox pursuing Pete Alonso a little more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't like Pete Alonso?
Who doesn't like a right-handed bat that isn't injured all the time or that actually can come through for you? This it's so maddening how left-handed centric this lineup is, too.
Well, they know that. I mean, that was.
But that's poor roster construction. Sneak up on him.
It was interesting when I talked to Breslow on Friday. I asked him. I said, after you make the trade, do you have teams now calling you trying to be blood in the water? The Red Sox are going to need something to have with Devers. He's not really, because he said, I think every team understood that our roster was so mismatched. Our roster was so poorly put together in the sense of, like, too many left-handed. And this is another thing that they were counting on, which is, all right, now we can do this with Yoshida, and now we can do this with Meyer and Anthony and whoever, and Bregman when he comes back. Okay, that's fine on July 17th or 18th. But when you get to July 17th or 18th, that's when the rubber meets the road in terms of defining who you are at the deadline. And that's what they have to do, because if they are sellers at the deadline, there's no room for interpretation. That was a bad move when you did it for Rafael Devers.
So last week on the Greg Hill Show, he said that if Greg asked, will you be a buyer or a seller? And he said, we'll look to improve the 2025.
I heard you guys play that clip, yeah.
Do you believe he will improve the 2025 baseball team, or are we going down a road there?
I think he desperately wants to be a buyer. I mean, for obvious reasons. I mean, we know
the heat's on, man.
Right. Well, that's it. I mean, right? I mean, this isn't rocket science. Like I said, if you are a seller at the deadline after making this trade, then at least the timing of the trade was wrong. That was it. There's no room for interpretation. Because we know the way they were going, and you can say the dysfunction or whatever it is, but still, they were winning games as constituted, and then they started losing games. That's what we know. So, yeah, I mean, I think that if they are a seller, he knows this, and I think he does want to be a buyer, because look at what they do. They push their trips to the middle of the table this season, and I still feel like they feel this way. People might disagree, but when you allocate what you did in the offseason, when you do all of that, when you say what you said, all our troubles are in the rear view, which is a paraphrasing and whatever else they said. But whatever you say that, and then you are in the playoffs the moment that you make the Rafael Devers trade, you are a playoff team, then how can you not want to be a buyer? It's a terrible look if you aren't.
Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring. Appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah, I heard, by the way, I heard there's somebody has identified a damn near perfect game as the summer book of the summer.
Really?
Really?
Oh, you didn't see this?
No.
Oh.
Was it you?
No, this is, forget about what the Red Sox do. Forget about anything. This is the biggest month in Baseball Isn't Boring history. This tops it all. I was doing this show with the Playtesty guys, and they pointed out, said, you see this? I'm like, what? Tom Hanks on his Instagram had said that that a damn near perfect game is the book that you should buy for the summer.
Really?
Yeah, Tom Hanks on Instagram. Yeah.
Bradfo, is that your book?
What?
That's your book?
Yeah.
Damn, we, man,
we,
that is
we
amazing.
We're going to get that on the at WEEI Afternoon Socials. I want to see this. Let's promote it.
We have as many followers as Tom Hanks.
9.4 million.
Yeah. Wow.
It was the most random thing I think ever happened in my
Bradfo,
life.
Bradfo, that is awesome.
I don't know how it happened, but there you go.
Hey, before you get out of here, Giolito and Chapman. If this continues down this path, they're as good as gone within 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a seller, they're at the top of the list.
But can't you be a buyer and still get rid of them because Giolito's not here next year and Chapman isn't?
Yeah, well,
can you be a buyer and trade Aroldis Chapman? No, you can't.
Yeah, well,
you're a seller.
But to get the right-handed bat, your lineup desperately needs.
No, because you're already so thin in the bullpen. Like we went across that bridge with a couple years ago. We're gonna do a little bit of buying, a little bit of selling.
You kind of pregnant?
Yeah.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Put that on the bumper stickers. For
my kind of drunk officer. Yeah, exactly. Like, no, there's no half-ass in some of those things.
Yeah, but
buy her, you sell.
Yeah, I think that those two guys to bring up. Two guys are like, if they trade them, I don't think there's any room for interpretation.
Is Bueller making any more starts?
Well, you know, here's the thing. If Kyle Harrison is ready, maybe not, but I don't know if they're going to bring him up. He's going to be just because of the lack of options. I think he probably will. Cora said after the game he will last night. We'll see what he says today.
Yeah. You know who didn't say he should be starting?
Walker
Buehler.
I like those press conferences.
He doesn't think he should be in the big leagues anymore.
He reminds me, I said this before, it reminds me of Beckett after he lost. The Beckett win press conferences were terrible. The Beckett loss press conferences were awesome.
Yeah, but this has a sadder tinge to it, in my opinion. I feel bad for Walker.
Oh, what he introduces being out of baseball?
Yeah. Watching a man's career just kind of go down the drain.
The guy was in the playoffs. This is going to be the first year Bregman doesn't make the playoffs. Likely.
Yeah.
And he opted out.
Saying there's a chance. Let's go. Let's go.
There is no chance, but there is a chance that's it with Rob Bradford. Thank you. Download Odyssey app. Baseball Isn't Boring, the best podcast in the business. Tom Hanks loves his books, and he just debunked a popular narrative that for some reason is spreading in the city of Boston. No.
Not anymore.
No, they didn't go above Craig Breslow's head to make the Rafi Devers trade. He made that trade. He likes the return, and we'll talk about a little bit of that and everything else Rob Bradford said next here on WEEI Afternoons.